welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here. Hello, my loves. How are you today? This is Nicole, and you've reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome to it. I'm so thrilled to be here with you today. If you are in America and celebrate, happy Thanksgiving. If you're anywhere in the world and celebrate because you're an American and live elsewhere, happy Thanksgiving. Today is the day after Thanksgiving, if you're listening on the day the podcast drops. And I hope you had a nice time. I hope it was more heartful than hurtful. I just made that up. So I'm coming today because I wanted to bring you a best of. And I was thoughtful about which one, and I'm bringing you an excerpt from a podcast that aired originally about 2.5 years ago entitled Emotional Repression versus Emotional Expression, something along those lines. And the theme of which is we really walk a fine line between expressing ourselves because we want to be authentic and we want to let people know who we are and what we think and sort of defend our inner children, and repressing ourselves because we want to be attached, right? Authenticity versus attachment. We want to be accepted. We want to be welcomed into the tribe. We want to be embraced. And so it's a fine line. It's really, really hard and really interesting. And so in the spirit of the holidays, as we begin this expanse of being with family, being with friends, being with people. A lot going on in the world, a lot going on in each of our lives, total opinions being thrown left, right, and center, could be triggering, could be something that opens you up or shuts you down. You know, we're all having so many different experiences. To open our minds to this debate, whether it be an actual debate or maybe it's just a conversation about how to weigh whether to express ourselves or repress what we're feeling, and how we can do it all awake, how we can, if we have to repress with our eyes wide open, use our journal speak practice, use our mindfulness and our meditation and our awareness of what's going on to not make that the kind of banked repression that leads to chronic pain. So here we are. Let me just say on the front end, this is also the beginning of Black Friday. And Black Friday deals are abundant, and you'll get a couple here from me. If you would like $75 off either of my online courses, Freedom from Chronic Pain or Freedom from an Anxious Life, that is available from the moment that you hear this podcast on Black Friday until next Sunday, November 29th at 11:59 Pacific. So you have a few days, but do not forget, because at 11:59 Pacific on the 29th, this code goes away until next Black Friday. So it's $75 off. The code is Black Friday 75, and that is for either of my online courses, Freedom from Chronic Pain or Freedom from an Anxious Life. Just go to thecureforchronicpain.com. That's my website. Click on the courses tab and you can purchase either one of those. They're also linked to my Instagram bio at Nicole Sachs LCSW. If you click the link in my bio, the courses are also linked there. Black Friday 75 is the code. Make sure you apply it. And the other thing, if you've heard me talk about Live from Omega is a project we have never done before. Lisa and I decided to video our talks this year, not all of them, but a selection of talks from me and Lisa and from Gigi Cockell, our neuroscience expert, and from Lisa Schlossberg about living the work. And those are available for the first time ever. So if you can't come to Omega or you couldn't come in the past and you want to hear these talks that really bring to life a lot of these theories and practices over 7 hours of talks, you can get $20 off that whole package. Once again, go to thecureforchronicpain.com. There's a Live from Omega tab, and on the homepage, there's a bar at the top where you can click and just put in Omega 20, Omega, O-M-E-G-A 20. Such a plethora of information and all like live and in color, so you can feel like you're there with us. And so take advantage of that. It can really put your healing on the next trajectory. And that's what I want for you. All right, my loves, let's get right to it. This excerpt from Emotional Expression versus Emotional Repression, a really important thing to keep in mind at this time of year when we have so much to talk about and so many people to interact with. And I send you big love. Enjoy. So today, okay, so let me tell you a little bit about what inspired this podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about the battle between self-regulation and emotional expression. Wow, what a mouthful and what a really important conversation. So here is where it began for me, this idea. So I am a parent, as many of you know. I have 3 beautiful biological children that I exercised until the day they were born, and everything that the doctors told me about my spondylolisthesis and what would limit my life turned out to be absolutely untrue. My back is in perfect shape, although very abnormal on MRI, and I exercised until the day they were born. So my kids right now are 13, 16, and 18. And this morning, I was driving with my 13-year-old, and you know, 13 is a rough age, and quote unquote, everything was wrong, which is like not that much compared to somebody with real problems, not to diminish her, but it was that she couldn't find the right bathing suit. Her friend didn't return her t-shirt. She was hungry. She was tired. And so she was really struggling in the car on our way to the beach. And she wanted to go to the beach, so this was her choice, but she was moody and struggling and sort of taking it out on me, not in a rude way, just in a way that a kid does when they're just grumpy and kind of grumbling. And I'm watching her try to keep it together. I'm not imposing this on her. She's 13, so society has already imposed this on her for probably the last, let's say, 9 to 10 years. So she understands that losing her ever-loving mind is reserved for the times where she absolutely can't control herself. And she's rarely like that. But I'm watching her literally self-regulate. I'm watching her try not to explode on me. I'm watching her kind of scroll through her phone and try to self-soothe. I'm watching her get quiet and not respond to the very basic questions I was asking her, like what did she want me to stop for her to eat? And would she please put sunblock on her face? You know, these are things that so I'm watching and I'm having this conversation in my mind with myself, which is, wow, as human beings, it's so interesting how there must be a constant battle within us between self-regulation, which also could be seen as appropriate human behavior, societally appropriate behavior, meaning although we have big feelings, sometimes those big feelings are legitimate, sometimes they're not, depending on the situation. But although we have big feelings, rarely is it met with ease and comfort when we start screaming or throwing things or expressing ourselves with, you know, without any sort of boundaries or, you know, tamping it down. That's not really taken well in society. However, when we're having really big feelings, and especially for a 13-year-old where this could be involved with puberty and hormones and whatever, those big feelings are huge. They feel really overwhelming. And so we always have to find a balance between this self-regulation and self-soothing and whatever it would take to not lose our shit, and the real release, the emotional release that comes with being able to in some way or another lose our shit. And, you know, it just brings up such an interesting dilemma, because if we're going to – we'll do a little primer on TMS. So TMS
And if you don't know what TMS is, you can go back to the earliest of the few sessions of this podcast. I do explain it in detail around my relationship with Dr. John Sarno. It stands for tension myositis syndrome. It was later evolved into tension myoneural syndrome. And it's essentially the process by which the nervous system and the brain convert the energy of repressed emotions into physical pain syndrome, symptoms, conditions, whatever. And it's all about the level of or the amount of repressed emotions we have, because the body is like a holding tank for the amount of repression required to live a respectable, acceptable human life. So depending on the amount of childhood trauma we've had and the amount and how sensitive we were born and just in general, you know, our personalities and our level of empathy for others and our level of tolerance for frustration, our emotional world may be more or less difficult to handle. And so it's like this absolute paradox. Do you express yourself in the way that you feel like you need to, or do you self-regulate and need to, through that very natural process of self-regulation, repress your emotions? And like if you think about a toddler, so a toddler is a perfect example of this conflict, because a toddler is an unabashed, scraped wound of human emotions. They are trying to navigate life. They want what they want. They're starting to get the sense that if you want what you want, you have to follow the rules. The rules make them angry. The rules make them sad. The rules make them frustrated. Sometimes the rules make them anxious. And they're just finding their way in that balance of being a human being in a society, which we're all living in some society or other, and how to move through life, make friends, make human connection, stay close with their caregivers and parents, but also get what they want. And oftentimes what they want requires an emotional repression. Because if you want the cookie and mommy says, if you keep screaming, there's no cookie, somehow you have to find a way to stop screaming. So that's the beginning of emotional of self-regulation, knowing that through parental guidance and through sometimes punishment and sometimes through societal shaping and conditioning that we learn to shut parts of ourselves down. And, you know, that can't always be negative. Sometimes it's positive to shut parts of ourselves down. If you are in the circle during kindergarten class and all you want is to run around and push everybody down, you're not going to be able to stay in kindergarten class. But that's what you want. So if you want that, you need to repress that want. So I just want to bring to light how human this challenge is, because TMS is this reservoir of rage and shame and sadness and fear and grief and terror and all the things we feel that are so normal and natural that collect in this reservoir because of the amount of times in life, either because we've been mistreated. I mean, this can also obviously connect to trauma, capital and small T trauma, but sometimes it's just societal. You know, sometimes you just don't get what you want. Sometimes you just can't do what you want. Sometimes you can't have your way. And either you're going to lose your mind and start screaming or start kicking or start biting or start throwing, or you're going to regulate, which requires repression. And as life goes on and that stuff builds up, and of course, we're once again bringing in our sensitive natures, bringing in our empathy, bringing in our energetic mismatch perhaps with the caregivers or parents that are raising us. Maybe it's an energetic mismatch with the society within which we're born. Maybe we're really free-spirited, wild child kind of people born into like a super quiet, conservative environment. Maybe. It happens all the time. all of this requires a lot of emotional repression. And when it reaches maximum density and that reservoir threatens to spill over and inform our conscious mind of how angry and sad and scared and terrified we are, the mind, the brain and the nervous system click into this sustained fight or flight space, which requires protection. Now the brain and the nervous system perceive that you are in danger. Your repressed emotional world is seen as a greater predator than your physical pain or condition, and that is where the energy is sent. The condition is triggered in order to divert you, distract you, and protect you, because once you are slow down and once you ask for help and once you go to the doctor or get into bed, all of these things that you potentially were thinking about are subverted because you have more important things. You have a migraine. You have a stomach ache that, you know, you can't move. You have back pain. You can't even get in the car and drive your kids around. These are, quote unquote, more pressing and urgent problems. And it's saving you. It's saving your ass literally from the things that you feel that unconsciously you perceive yourself unable to feel. So once again, we're always dipping back into theory, but that's really, really important. So, you know, it's, I guess the point of this podcast today is really to call out that this is going on, that the requirement of us being in a civilized society, of the requirement of self-regulation, which is quite frankly a very positive term in the world of psychology. A child who can self-regulate is considered a really healthy child, a really convenient child, a child who a parent is happy to have, because kids who have issues with self-regulation, I mean, I had a child like this, my son Oliver, he's almost 17 and he's amazing now. I mean, he really, really came through it beautifully and I am very grateful for that. But as a young child, he had tremendous issues with self-regulation and I had to work really hard not to shame him for it, because as parents, so let's take the stance of parents for a moment, because we've been with the child and with ourselves as children thus far in this conversation. It's freaking hard to have a kid who's not self-regulating. And so we are the culprits often, without wanting or meaning to be so, of requiring a lot of emotional repression in our kids, because it's just, oh my good God, it's enough, right? It's enough crying. Please stop crying. It's enough screaming. It's enough misbehaving. It's enough running around. It's enough touching the walls. It's enough grabbing everything. It's, I mean, anyone who's a parent has been there. And even if you're not a parent, you've watched other people struggle with it and you've been a child yourself. And you know, potentially, how hard it is to just keep yourself to yourself. And so as parents, we are going through our own struggles, we're exhausted and we're needing things to go smoothly. And, you know, and those issues can go much deeper in terms of our filling our black hole of need for our own comfort and our own childhood problems that are being played out through our kids. So, I mean, this is obviously can get into a very deep conversation, but it's very tempting to tell kids to be quiet, to sit down, to that's enough. And we've all done it. And that requires emotional repression. And so I guess the first thing to say is that this is ubiquitous and this is something we cannot sidestep. We cannot be in civilized society and express every emotion that we ever have. And so, you know, watching my daughter go through that today, knowing that that's something I can't save her from, knowing that it's healthy, that I watched her throughout the car ride get herself together. And by the time we got to the beach, she actually seemed okay. She ran out the door. She was with her friend. We had brought lunch for both of them and they seemed great. And so, you know, it's a gift to me to be able to kind of quietly and mindfully observe my life and the people's lives around me, because it shows me that it's not a horrible predicament we're in, that we have to self-regulate and not always express everything, but we need to keep in mind how important it is that we not lose sight of the importance of emotional expression. So here's another little story I want to tell you that kind of goes along with it. So I was in sort of a round table the other day, and there was a woman after the round table, and she was talking sort of not privately, but having a side conversation as the group was disbanding. And I heard her say, my mother is going into late stage Alzheimer's and we need to put her in a nursing home. And the other person was just, you know, listening empathically. And this woman said, and you know, when I look at her now, so frail and so different than she was when I was growing up, I realize, how can I be mad at her? How can I be mad? How can I resent her still? I mean, she was a monster to me growing up, but how can I resent her? Look at her now. She's so frail. And the other person is, of course, totally agreeing. And I'm listening to this woman basically shame herself for having feelings of resentment and anger. I listened, the conversation was going on, and she was basically saying, I have no right. I give myself no right to my feelings anymore about my mother, even though they are largely unresolved, because how can – look at her. Just look at her now. And all I'm thinking, even though I did not interrupt because that's not my place and she wasn't talking to me and I didn't know her, but all I'm thinking is, my good God, I hope that you find a place to put those feelings, because without doing so, you will have a lot of TMS, because – anger and resentment and sadness and grief for the child that was abused doesn't just go away because somebody now is frail. You know, everyone ages, everyone gets old, everyone deteriorates. It's the state of being human. But just because someone does, if you haven't worked out what you need to work out, it doesn't have to be with them. It could just be your own personal work. But to say, I don't have a right to feel that stuff now because look at her. That's really dangerous place to be, because that disregards the need for emotional expression. So that brings us to the solution, which if you are familiar with this podcast, it will be no surprise to you, which is, regardless of the people in our lives, whether they had good intentions or bad intentions, whether they abused us or they simply were so blind to our suffering because of their own struggles, we need to express that for our own inner child. And a great way to do that is your journal speak practice. And those of you who are maybe, you know, didn't start the podcast at the beginning and don't know what journal speak is, I really do encourage you to do a few things. You can go back and listen to the podcast. I think it was the second episode, Journal Speak Your New Best Friend. I also write the whole story in sort of a memoir fashion in my book, The Meaning of Truth. You can also go to the resources tab on my website. There's a free resource called How to Journal Speak. So there's so many ways to learn about it, but it is essentially an unbridled, unapologetic journaling practice that focuses on parts of our lives that have caused us tremendous conflict and grief and shame and sadness and fear and rage, and unearthing the repressed emotions safely and privately by ourselves through this very free wheeling journal speak practice. And by doing so, what we're doing is we're informing our brain and our nervous system that this reservoir of all these feelings inside can be felt safely. Because, you know, unfortunately, the perception of our brain and our nervous system is that these feelings are so dangerous because, for example, your frail Alzheimer's mother doesn't look like she deserves your anger anymore. So feeling it, what's it going to do to you? Is it going to swallow you whole? Is it just pointless because nothing can be done about it? Is it so out of your control? Are you scared you won't be able to feel warmly toward her as she's passing, you know, and how you feel guilty if you can't be there for her as she's in this last stage of her life? These are fears that will keep you from feeling the feelings you need to feel. And if you can't feel them, they must be felt somewhere. They will be felt in your headaches, in your back pain, in your hip pain, in your fibro, in your pelvic pain, in your migraines, in your irritable bowel, in your skin disorders, in your symptoms of autoimmune disease. They will be felt. They are relentless. Energy is neither created nor destroyed. It is only transferred from one form to another. This is physics. This is the law of thermodynamics. So if that's the case, then this energy is not just going to disappear. This energy of rage and sadness and fear and shame, it stays inside of you. And if it can't be expressed through your conscious connection with what has happened and how you feel about it, it will be expressed through your body. That is the capital T truth. And I have been working with people to unlearn this natural reaction for over 20 years. And my own life and my own body is proof that once you feel what you need to feel, there is no need for any chronic illness or pain. I am a completely healthy person with an incredible immune system, by the way. And I think it's all about this work. So it's just so important to know that this is happening, that this is a conflict between self-regulation and emotional expression that will always be with us, because the seeds of it are sown in childhood, and we can't get out of being kids, and we can't get out of being unable to possibly know that emotional expression is important, yet we need to know how to self-regulate. I mean, it's impossible. Kids can't understand that. And as parents, we can't always be perfect. We can't always be deeply empathic and understanding and be present for our children's struggles, because we're in our own struggles. And so no matter how happy your childhood was, this is another thing that people say to me often, how can I have TMS? I had a happy childhood. No matter how happy your childhood was, this battle between self-regulation and emotional expression is inherent in the being alive. So it happened to you. It continues to happen to you. And that requires a lot of repressed emotions. So it doesn't matter how happy your childhood was, you could still be in the same position. And so I would just encourage you to really kind of press the emotional pause button. Remember how I instruct you to have your envisioned, your imagined 80s tape recorder hanging off your holster. And anytime your mind is just spinning and everything's going really fast, you just reach down and press that pause button and it will stay down. And you have a moment to gather yourself and to say, what's really going on here? I'm feeling a little pain. I'm feeling a lot of anxiety. I'm feeling a sense of exhaustion. I'm feeling whatever I'm feeling. What might be needing to express itself? And take the time to go to your journal speak practice. Take the time to meditate. Take the time to understand that this dilemma of self-regulation versus emotional expression is there and is alive and well in you. And until we take it seriously and understand that we have the responsibility to feel what we need to feel, even if we can't always go hog wild and tell everybody exactly what we feel right to their face. And sometimes it would feel so good, but it doesn't matter. You can't always do that. It would create more problems than it would solve oftentimes. And so going to your journal speak page, going to your trusted circle of friends, going to a therapist, coming to one of my retreats, doing what you need to do to cultivate that support and that place to put those emotions is integral for your health. This is about physical health. Yes, it's about emotional health, but emotional health is physical health. Mental health is physical health. And the sooner people realize that and wake up to that, and become aware of their trauma responses and the things, that the stored trauma that they're holding and the emotional repression that was just necessary to be alive, then we have the chance to do the work we need to do. And never forget the third facet of my work, which is patience and kindness for yourself. So key to practice self-compassion. We are so good at being compassionate toward others. If someone that you love so much is suffering, you are so quick to run to them, to put a gentle hand on their shoulder, to speak in calm tones and loving tones, to tell them, oh, come on, stop being so hard on yourself. It's okay. But picture the last time you really screwed something up. You messed it up. You dropped the ball. You did something and it was really stupid, or it was really careless, or it wasn't even stupid or careless, but bad things happened. How did you talk to yourself? Did you have a kind tone of voice, soft and gentle? Did you put your hand on your own shoulder and say, oh, honey, it's okay? No. You were most likely like, you fucking idiot. Jesus Christ, every single time. Why can't you do anything right? So-and-so was right about you, weren't they? That's how we talk to ourselves more likely than not. Self-compassion is integral in living a healthy human life and integral in this process of healing from chronic anything, because the more we continue to shit on ourselves and to judge ourselves and to block ourselves from self-forgiveness, the more we just perpetuate the problems that we have. And it's just, I mean, listen, I could say it's unnecessary, but I know I've needed every goddamn lesson I've ever learned, so I'm not going to steal yours from you. But just know that it is the easier, softer way to be nice to yourself. And if you are struggling with self-compassion, I always recommend the work of Dr. Kristen Neff, N-E-F-F. I don't know her. I do not get paid to promote her. I just think she's great, and I think her work is really brilliant. So look it up if you choose. And I hope this conversation was helpful for you today. You know, I mean, these kind of things just pass through my mind. I love to just chill out and hang out with you and share them with you because I want to be helpful. And, you know, when you have a hard week and when things just pile up, just know that your journal speak practice is a place for you to go. It's a safe place, and it's a place that can hold a lot of this stuff that maybe nobody else wants to hear. And that's okay. You can become your own best friend, and that is a really powerful position to be in. Doesn't keep you from having other friends, but it makes the company you keep a lot more comforting. It's taken me a long, 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 long time to learn this, but I'm learning it. Little by slowly, I'm learning it, and I know you are too. All right, my dear friends, I've really enjoyed this time with you. If you're enjoying this podcast, please, pretty please, with sugar on top, just go over to iTunes. It'll take 5 seconds. Go over to iTunes right now and rate and review it so other people can find it. It's so important. So, so, so important. 99% of what I do out here, I do for free because I'm dying for people to know about this stuff. And so if you go over and rate and review it, you get to help me in that effort. And I do appreciate it. All right, my dears. Until next time, you have been listening to The Cure for Chronic Pain with me, Nicole Sachs, and I'll see you then. Bye-bye.